Certainly good to be here this morning to enjoy a time of fellowship together and to worship God, and that's why we have come this morning to honor and glorify our Lord and Savior. Now, we're going to go back this morning to the book of Genesis, and maybe sometimes we think, well, you know, what could we possibly learn from the book of Genesis, because that was so far back, so long ago, long before Jesus came to the earth, and yet there are principles and ideas found all through not only the book of Genesis, but all through the Old Testament. Back in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says these things were written for our learning, so that we could know and understand how God dealt with people, how God dealt with people not only who were faithful, but who sinned against them. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says the man, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the man knew Eve, his wife, and said, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you had done well, shall it be lifted up. And if you have done not well, sin couches at the door, and unto to you it shall be its desire, and but you do rule over it. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Now, we've all read that passage. We've all talked about this is the first time in the Bible that somebody, as far as we know, has murdered somebody else. And it was wrong then. It has always been wrong to do so. It wasn't because there was a law that God had specifically given against it. But it was the law of the mind, the understanding of right and wrong, the conscience that we have within us. The account of Cain and Abel is related by Moses, and so he wanted us to know, as God directed him, that we understand how things begin. That however long, we don't know exactly how long it was, after Adam and Eve sinned and were put out of the Garden of Eden, but it was a downhill trip from there for mankind. And so when we look at this, we need to understand there's some lessons that we can gain from it. We have to consider what is said in the light of the full revelation of God's truth, which he has given to us, and the plan that God had and had even before the foundation of the world to give us eternal salvation. Now, it's an interesting story about two individuals, but there's meant to convey more of an idea. In fact, you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible tells us there that the blood of Abel still speaks to us today. And that's evidenced by the fact that here we are, however many thousand years later, and we're talking about this very thing. So we look at this idea from Genesis chapter 4. And some things are important for us to know and to understand. We'll try to make some application of those things as we go through. First of all, there's the facts of the narrative themselves. Now, there were two brothers, Cain and Abel. Now, I'm going to point out right here, some people think that Cain and Abel were the only, the first two sons of Adam and Eve, and they didn't have any others. Well, we know they had Seth later, but they also had many others if you read carefully what the Bible says. So, these are two of the sons of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that God respected both Abel and his offering. In other words, God accepted the offering that Abel made. Now, he did not respect either of the things or the things that Cain did, nor his offering. And so, right there is a flashpoint, if you will, of jealousy between Cain and between Abel. Cain was the older brother, and Maybe he thought that he could just do whatever he decided to do and not necessarily what God wanted him to do, and therefore God would somehow just have to get used to it and he'd do what he wanted. Well, that's kind of an attitude and an idea that many people have today, that we can just kind of do what we want and somehow God will just have to be okay with that. Well, that's not the way it works in God's way. Cain was very angry because his offering was not accepted by the Lord. He became sullen. He became jealous. He became angry. The Bible says his countenance fell. If he was happy and joyful before, it wasn't that way anymore. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, Isaiah says, "The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not." There come people in the time of Isaiah. They had sinned so much against God, and they had rebelled against Him, that no longer were they joyful to be people called of God by the law and to be able to follow it. They didn't. They were sullen. They were jealous. They were evil in their thoughts and their minds. Well, what was God's reply to what it says about Cain there? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "The Lord said unto Cain, Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, then sin couches at the door. Unto you shall it be its desire, but you do rule over it." Notice God said to Cain, "You rule over this. The choice is up to you. You don't have to act like this. You don't have to hate your brother. You don't have to do these things. You can overcome it. I give you the choice there." God asked the question in response, of course, to Cain's error. Well, Cain, of course, what was his response? Chapter 4, verse 8. "And Cain told," or talked to Abel, his brother. "It came to pass, they went out in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." So that was what Cain did. God said in the previous verse, you know, you can do something about this. You can repent. You don't have to do anything wrong. You can realize that there is a right way to serve God. And you could go back and repent and offer the right sacrifice and the thing that I want you to do. And your heart's in it. And I'll forgive. That's basically what God was telling Cain. But Cain didn't want to do that. And notice again, God left the choice with Cain. He didn't force him to do right. He doesn't force you and me to do right. He gives us the opportunity and the privilege, and the blessing of that privilege will be eternal life. But the responsibility, if we go the wrong way, is going to be eternal separation from God. And so we read, for example, in Jude verse 11, where Jude, all those many hundreds and even 2,000 or 3,000 years later, whatever it was, said unto the people of Jude's day, "Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain." In other words, they didn't come to God's way. They went off and turned their back upon God's way and turned to doing the things that Cain did, to rebel against God and do evil to those who were their enemies. So why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Now, sometimes we hear that question come up. Now, normally, and the most obvious answer, although not exactly right as far as we look at what the Bible actually says, the normal answer, and probably it's on the right track anyway, was that Cain substituted the fruit of the ground for an animal sacrifice. Now, we don't know for sure that that's the truth because we don't have God's command specifically made that there is a kind of offering he wanted. But insofar as the record goes, there does not seem to be anything necessarily implied that you couldn't offer other things also. God doesn't say. But we get from the understanding of what was done that Cain, not only did he offer probably the wrong offering, but he offered it in the wrong attitude of heart. And that's where it really goes back to. If God had told him specifically, offer a lamb as a sacrifice, there would have been no choice for Cain to have. But it seems that he wanted to improve upon, or he wanted to give what God, he wanted God to have rather than what God required of him. So Cain, the Bible says, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And it says, then Abel, he also brought the first flock, firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. The term also means in addition to or as well as. So it seems that whatever each one of them brought, Cain brought it, but it was not exactly what God wanted. But he offered it in an attitude of heart, well, here it is, God, you'll just have to do with this. That's the kind of attitude Cain seemed to have. But Abel was willing to do exactly as God commanded and exactly as God required of him. And so he brought an offering. But the writer tells us that Cain brought these things, and Abel, in addition to other things, brought more than was required of him. So it wasn't just exactly what he brought, but his attitude of heart was giving and willing to sacrifice to God. And so we see a difference in the attitude of Cain and Abel. And often sin today, just like to us, comes not so much exactly what we do outwardly as the attitude of the heart that we partake. For example, we partook of the Lord's Supper a few minutes ago, and it was read about that we have to do this and examine ourselves before we partake, that we can do acceptably to God. Now, sometimes maybe our mind is wandering away and we're not thinking about it. We partake without truly considering the body and blood of Christ. We do so wrongly, but we can repent, and God wants us to do so. And next time we have the opportunity to partake in a way that is pleasing to Him. That's why in Genesis 4, God said to Cain, you know, if you choose to do right, you can be lifted up. But if you don't, sin is at the door, but you have the choice. You can decide. The writer of Hebrews kind of confirms this idea. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, but Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaks. So here we are all these thousands of years later, the blood of Abel still speaks to us, that he offered a righteous, faithful sacrifice with the right heart, the right mind. The expression here, the more excellent, a translation of the word here, meaning much more than was required. So it wasn't just that he gave a sacrifice, he brought it, Cain did that, but he brought it even more out of the, as the Bible later says, out of the abundance of the heart. He wanted to give. He wanted to give this blessing and this privilege that he had to serve God. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12 and verse 41, it says, the men of Nineveh shall stand up in judgment with this generation, and they shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south rise up in judgment with this generation, for they shall condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. But the idea there is that those who maybe were looked at as not as faithful came with a right attitude and a right heart, and they were willing to change even their views on something. Like the Queen of Sheba came and saw the wisdom of Solomon, and she said, the half was not told me. I did not understand until I did this, but her heart was right. We go back again to Cain and Abel. Well, Abel had a heart that was right with God. He offered his sacrifice with the right attitude, with the right heart. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, he says, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is much more than all the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is what someone had come to Jesus and asked him about, you know, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He says, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says all of the law hangs on those things, loving God, and he says love your neighbor as yourself. So the whole law hangs upon that, because that's the attitude of the heart. And all the sacrifices, even under the law of Moses, that they had to make, had to be done according as the heart was willing to do it, and faith in God. So these facts show that Abel's sacrifice was accepted due to the fact that his heart was right with God. Now, yes, he brought what God expected of him, and he did it according to God's will. We think about ourselves in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what Abel did. He gave from the heart, he gave a true sacrifice, and God was pleased with it. Cain did the opposite. He didn't give himself as the sacrifice first. He gave what he wanted to do and was expecting that God would just accept it. But there's another underlying principle here. The value of the offering does not depend so much on the character of the sacrifice as it does the character of the one making it. And again, there's the main difference between the sin of Cain and the righteousness of Abel. It was the attitude of the mind and heart. Now, maybe that seems obvious to us, but it hasn't always been so. Some reason that, for example, that human life was the highest thing and the most costliest thing. And there were many pagans in the Old Testament time that offered their children as sacrifice to their gods, because that's the greatest sacrifice they could make. Well, there was nothing that God wanted. God did not say to them to offer their children as sacrifices to idol gods, because in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 35, he says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Molech was the idol god of fire and such. He says, which I commanded you not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination of sin to Judah. So he says, I didn't even tell them anything like this. And they came to the wrong conclusion because their heart was not right. Their heart was not right to receive the message which God wanted them to know. So it took many years for Israel to learn the fact that they could not offer sacrifice to idols and such, and also to God, and be pleasing to God. There had to be the moral and religious character established to them under the law, so they'd do what God wanted them to do. We'll go back also to the Old Testament, to the book of Micah. In Micah chapter 6, we see a parallel idea in the days of Micah. They were living in sin. They were rebelling against God. And they were sent warnings from the prophets in particular. Now, Isaiah and Micah lived at the same time. And so they were writing about the same thing. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? That's what Micah said. He says, that's how people reason. The more offerings we give, somehow God will be blessed by us. But they were just thinking of the amount of the offering. They weren't considering the attitude of the heart and the thought behind it. But what does Micah answer to that question? What shall I give as a sacrifice to God? Micah 6, verse 8, he says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love kindness, to walk humbly with thy God. The first thing that God required of them, required of us, required of Cain and Abel, was the heart, the mind, the understanding, that be according to the will of God. Acceptable sacrifices will depend upon our submission to the will of God. Now, we don't have to go and build an altar somewhere and offer a bull or a goat or whatever as a sacrifice. Christ did that for you and me. But as Romans 12 says, we're to offer our body a living sacrifice to God. No one can do what God says unless we go back and study and learn what God requires of us inwardly as well as outwardly. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says there, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord." That's what Samuel said to King Saul. King Saul had won a battle, and then God had told him, completely destroy these people, their animals and everything, bring nothing back. Well, Saul and some of his other advisors had a better idea than God, and they thought, well, we'll just take the best of the lambs and those of the flock and bring them back and offer sacrifice to God. Well, God was not approval of that, because he said, destroy all of them. And so Samuel confronted Saul. He says, as God has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Well, obviously the answer to that question is no. Because he went on to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So it made no difference what the sacrifice was if it's not done with the right attitude of heart. And that's where the sin of Cain came from. If he didn't offer a sacrifice that God was accepted of God, it's because his heart was not right in the first reason. So where then did Cain sin? Well, he lacked faith. Faith in what God wanted him to do. Hebrews 11:4, it says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." It's by his faith. That's the motivating force of everything else. Our faith, and eventually our love for God, causes us to do the things that God requires of us. Well, how does that faith come? Well, Romans 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's how we're to know what God wants us to do, what he wants us to believe, and how he wants us to serve. His heart was not right before God, and with that condition, his works were unacceptable. If you look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, it says there, not as Cain of the evil one, and slew his brother, and why or wherefore did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. He was jealous of his brother. His works were evil. Abel's sacrifice was accepted of God because Abel's righteousness and his faith showed that he was going to do what God commanded. And so Cain substituted his own way and his own attitude of heart for what God required of him. We look at this lesson, look at what Cain did and what Abel had done. Well, what's the value of this lesson to us? Well, first of all, we look at the testimony of the Word of God. In Romans 15, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "The things that are written before were written for our learning." So we have to learn from what God did, how he took care of those who were faithful, how he punished those who were not. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. In 1 Corinthians 10 is talking about the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness after they had been delivered from Egyptian slavery. It says, "Now these things are example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." And then 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says, "Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth are come." These things are written for our purpose. So we read and study and learn what Cain did wrong, what Abel did right, and we can follow the good example. Also, it is evident that Cain reasoned it wasn't necessary for him to do all that God commanded. He thought, well, I'll just bring whatever I want, And again, somehow God will have to just be okay with that. Well, that's not the way God deals with his people. Thus, his own reason was substituted for the word of God. We hear that a lot in our world today. The people don't think what God says is right, and so we can kind of substitute our own way. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 21. God said to the people of Israel in the time of David, he said, "You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you." God says, "You think that I think like you, that I do things like you, and I reason like you do." He says, "No, that's not the way it is." He says in the book of Isaiah, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So we have to understand, we have to go back to the Word of God and determine what is God's way. What is his reasoning? Why does he want us to live in a certain way? But how often, sometimes, maybe we, in a moment of weakness, we set aside something that God wants and we kind of do it our own way. Now, are we satisfied to do less than God wants us, of us or required us to do? We'll turn over for a moment to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Jesus was talking to his disciples there who were following him. They were with him every day for basically 3 years' time. It says in Luke 17, verse 10, Jesus said, "Even so you also, when you shall have done all the things that is commanded of you, say that we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty." It says the greatest you can do is all you can do is that duty that's required of you. And he says, you do that, but God will be blessed and will be pleased with you, and he will bless you for it. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So we know to do good and we don't do that, and Cain knew that, and he didn't do good. The lesson of Cain's sin should be a lesson to all of us. We need to take the example of Abel. Bible says in Hebrews 11, his blood still bears witness of his righteousness. Nothing more, nothing less than what God requires of us. We can either add to it or can we take away from it? Jesus in Matthew 28, he gave the Great Commission. He says, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." In other words, we teach, we go, we teach, we baptize, we teach some more. And he says, "If you'll do this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." But we have to make the decision. We have to choose to do that. Abel and Cain both chose to do what they did. Cain sinned against God. Abel was accepted as righteous. But we have to be willing to make the same decision every day we live. Are we going to do what God says? We're going to do what we want. We have to make that decision. This morning, if you need to come, the invitation is open. Jesus wants us to come to him every day. And this life will be better now and for all of eternity. But we have to make the decision. Won't you come now if you need to come as we stand and sing?